afternoon. Glad to be here in San Antonio. It's a lot warmer than where I'm coming from. My name is Gordon Price. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Engineering at the Nova Scotia Agricultural College, just north of Halifax in Nova Scotia, Canada. And I'm going to present a bit of the work that we've been conducting over the last three odd years. But I guess, there's some people still coming in. Maybe I won't go right into the presentation yet. Just to say that if you want to have your name dragged through the newspapers and whatnot, working with biosolids is the perfect way to get there.
You can go.
All right, I'll probably start. So today we're gonna, as I mentioned, we're gonna present. I'm presenting a piece of the work that we've been doing over the last three, 4 years working with an alkaline stabilized biosolid. But because I come from a soils background and a composting background, I do take, I'm not quite sure about the use of the word stabilized. So through the presentation, I've changed that to treated, so alkaline treated biosolid, even though technically it is called alkaline stabilization. And I'm going to present some data over the last few years on soil mineral nitrogen in some field trials and pH. So as I mentioned, biosolids don't get a great rap from the public perception standpoint. Although I know in the U.S. approximately 60% of the biosolids produced make their way to agricultural land, and in Canada, it's probably around 40 to 50% that's used in agriculture as a nutrient amendment, organic matter amendment. And so these are the facts that the public, the consumers, often forget, that you know there's a cost savings for producers, and given today's prices in terms of lime or fertilizer, I mean that could be pretty significant. I had a producer come up to me, and he's sitting on the fence whether to use this material or not. Nova Scotia is a pretty small province, so there's few individuals can go around to every municipal council in the province and have a petition to have people ban it within their counties. And one producer came up to me and he said, look, my applying this material is the difference between taking my family on vacation or just meeting the needs of the farm. And I think that consumers forget that there is an agricultural value to these materials, and consumers are also producers or generators of it. So in terms of the context, I mean, the reason in Halifax or Nova Scotia it's an issue is that previously municipalities didn't have, they could do what they wanted to. I mean, even the largest urban center, Halifax, up until recently, the last 4 or 5 years, instituted an enhanced primary wastewater treatment plant system, whereby for the last 150 years, most of that untreated material went into the harbor. So the water is treated, the solids are shipped to a plant, and it's subcontracted to a company called Enviro Systems Canada, and they apply this technology in alkaline stabilization, applying quicklime and cement kiln dust to raise the pH to about 12. There's an exothermic reaction that helps to kill off the pathogens. The material is then tested and has to meet very strict guidelines under the Ministry of the Environment or the Department of Environment in Nova Scotia for heavy metals and pathogen content. And there are two classifications, the highest being a Class A and the next level being a Class B. And the Class A allows any, whether it be a compost or a biosolid, it allows the generator to sell it as an unrestricted use product. And so this is sold as an agricultural amendment with a 3-to-1, so 3 parts to 1 liming equivalent. So we need about 3 parts of the biosolid per unit of lime. But it's being sold for between $12 to $20 per ton delivered. So as I mentioned before, it's a considerable cost savings. It's being sold as a liming amendment, but it's an organic matter source, so it has some potential nutrient value. They have a label on it guaranteeing a minimum guaranteed analysis of about 1% nitrogen and 0.5% phosphorus and 1% approximately potassium. So what this is part, as I mentioned, this is part of a larger study. Really, we started this because there was a lot of concern and uncertainty around the emerging contaminants component of the biosolids. And so we started these field trials, but also wanted to look at the agronomic side so we could try to develop a balance for the agronomic, for the producers to get a sense of, you know, what the recommended rates that were being, the materials being sold, or the recommended rates that are currently being applied, whether that actually made sense. And on the other hand, also looking at organic contaminants. I had a student present yesterday on that. Oh. So in terms of our objectives here, we're looking at soil mineral N and the effect of the material on soil pH over a few years. The recommended rates right now for corn production is about 14 tons, and it basically goes down from there. We have a lot of pasture lands that it's being grazing lands or pasture lands it's being applied to. So we had our base as 14 tons per hectare. 7 is our half rate control, was no biosolid. And then we doubled and tripled that rate, and really we're trying to push the system for the emerging contaminant side to, you know, up the concentrations and see whether, if there were any of these contaminants, we might be able to detect them, but also to see what, you know, how the system dealt with these larger rates. We had a recommended lime treatment as well. It was a randomized complete block design. We also instituted two management approaches, one which was a single application of all of these rates, and the second which is an annual application. So again, we're trying to push the system. We took the plots are about 12 meters by 5 meters, and took 6 subsamples per plot, down to about 30 centimeters, 0 to 30, approximately monthly. So we've got about 5 to 7 months of data per year on average. Our first year was a characterization year. I'm calling it a characterization year because the company didn't want to give us any material. They were already under some public pressure, and so it took about a year to convince them to allow us to get some material from them. So we characterized the site fairly well in 2008. It was a soybean year, and so we decided that we were trying to push the system a bit. So we shifted over to corn in 2009. In 2008, we applied half of the material, the treatments, in the fall, and then applied another half in the spring. But we subsequently have gone to 100% application in the springtime for a variety of reasons. That the management practices that were being recommended shifted by the crop advisors were shifting their recommendations. So we were sort of shifting along with them. So I'm going to present data for 2009-2010. We're just finishing up our data collection for an analysis for this year. This is the research location. It's called the Bioenvironmental Engineering Center. It's located in Truro, Nova Scotia. The circled site is the field. Most of the plots are located basically smack in the center of the field. And then we're planning all around it because of that nice forested area that you see. Houses a fairly significant deer population that likes to come in and graze. So we've tried to create a fairly large buffer in between our plots so that if they're going to graze, they can graze, not graze the corn that we're trying to measure. So today I'm going to present you some data on pH and soil mineral N. We've got a number of other measurements that we hope to put together and present at a later date. Just to give you some very general attributes of the material, it doesn't have a significantly large carbon content or nitrogen content. As I mentioned, it's about 1% total nitrogen, 0.5% phosphorus, and about 0.5 to 1% calcium. It varies from batch to batch, but they have some leeway in their labeling. As you notice, the pH is about 9.4, so pH drops very quickly by the time it leaves the facility. So it goes from 12 to about 9.5 within the matter of a couple of weeks. Just as a note, the material is quite biologically active, so then that's where we sort of we're a little bit wary about the use of stabilization, which we associate with stabilized compost or mature compost, that this material, when we ran some incubation experiments on it, really, really generated, mineralized a fairly significant amount of the carbon in a short period of time. So this material, once it enters into a biologically active environment, will start to degrade very quickly. So cumulative soil mineral N for 2009, we didn't really see any treatment responses. So the treatments are all in the black dots. The white dot is our control. But we did see a significant difference between our control, which received basically a starter fertility, and then we backed off. Just as a note, we have a fairly large amount of soil mineral and nitrate form that's being mineralized in that first year, and we couldn't really tease it out because it was essentially an effect, an after effect of the previous soybean crop, and also a function of the fact that we were sampling a little bit deeper than we normally would. So normally we're applying to that 0.15 centimeters, but we were measuring that 0.30 centimeter pool, and so there's that organic matter pool that's contributing, and as well as the residue from the soybeans. So we had fairly high nitrogen mineralized that particular year. In our subsequent year, in our annual application, this is in 2010, so over the growing season, we're seeing that we're getting a dispersal of the treatment effects. That middle line, the open box, is our recommended rate. The half rate and the control didn't seem to be any different, and our two highest rates weren't really any significantly different from each other, and seemed to perform fairly similarly. The projected range based on our response curves here were that they'd mineralize about 200 kilograms per hectare of nitrate form nitrogen through a season. But that was on our annual application. So in that previous slide, we're seeing what the projected is after 2 years of application of the biosolid. In our single-time application, what we are noticing is that we couldn't really distinguish after a year, not being able to distinguish any difference between the treatments and the control. So any residual effects that we might have expected really didn't exist. There might be some residual effects on pH or organic matter in the long term, but in terms of from a management standpoint, if the producer is trying to gain some fertility out of this, they would need to be considering some continuous application of the material. Likewise, on the ammonium side, beggars can't be very picky, and at our particular site, the researchers are essentially beggars to the farm. We get whatever land they give us, and this particular site seems to mineralize a fairly significant amount of nitrogen to begin with. So which is one of the reasons why we stepped back on our nitrogen fertility for these plots, even in our controls, and just we only applied a starter nitrogen. We didn't give it a full recommended rate. Because we were noticing in our first year where we were characterizing the site, there's a significant amount of N coming out of that system, which is why, despite the objections of our farm manager, we've gone to corn, and if I had my way, I'd go to corn again, but she's not very keen on that for obvious, very obvious reasons. So we couldn't tease out any differences in the ammonium side for the soil mineral N in the first year. In our second year, I'm not sure. Yeah, you can see that on the left-hand side. That's our single application versus the annual application. There is a slight difference in terms of the intercept, but really the patterns are the same. We've merged all of the treatments into one single line because there's no treatment difference relative to the control. So we're seeing some effect of the annual application on the ammonium side, but really where we're distinguishing the real differences is on the nitrate side for this material. Just very quickly, we are seeing soil pH effects. So as a liming amendment, it does seem to have, it does do what they say it should do. However, it does take some time, and have a postdoc that's presenting this afternoon at 3:30 on a different site that we've been researching, and different type of soil, and he's getting a much better pH response at that site. Our target was 6.5, and we're only reaching that 6.5, not quite, after 2 years of application. And our recommended rate really isn't meeting the target. So there is a pH response, but as you can see in this final slide here, that response really starts to fade once we stop applying the material. So at the very highest rate of 42 tons and 28 tons, we are starting to get towards the target pH that we want, but it really at the recommended rates, and that's really the highest that most people would be applying the material, 14 tons, we're not even close. We're almost one pH unit away from what they need, and so there's going to need to be a balance somewhere along the line from a management standpoint. So just to conclude, we did see some moderate soil mineral nitrogen contributions at the recommended rate, but really they came out at the high rate. Those disappeared, no residual effects after the single year of application, and we did see soil pH response. Just acknowledge some funding agencies and the numerous people that have worked on this project for the last few years. Thank you very much. Thank you.